Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to LeadFX Inc.'s annual shareholders meeting. Please note that the meeting today will be recorded, and we are unable to accept questions through the webcast or audio portions of the meeting. Management will address questions from those attendees who are joining us in person today. Without further ado, the chairman, Mr. Robert Metcalf, will now begin.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and good morning in Australia. And welcome to the 2017 Annual General Meeting of Shareholders of LeadFX. My name is Robert Metcalf, and I am the chairman of LeadFX, and as such, will be presiding over this meeting. Everyone should have signed in at the registration desk. If you have not, could you please do so now? We have with us today three current board members whom I would like to asked to raise their hand, and I'll identify them. The first is Trevor Hinton here today? On his way. David Warner and myself, Robert Metcalf. From Australia, we have Wayne Richardson and Peter Robson.
Yeah.
And the new nominee, and the new nominee, David Dresinger, have joined by teleconference. In fact, David is here today. So thank you very much, gentlemen. David Bing Kui is a current board member who will not be standing for re-election, and the board would like to take this opportunity to thank him for his work and effort and his contributions to the company as a director. Also present today are members of the management team who I would also like to have identify themselves, and they are Robert Scargill, our President and CEO, Lincoln Greenwich, our Chief Financial Officer, Jessica Helm, Vice President, Investor Relations, and Darcy Doherty, Vice President, Legal and General Counsel. Darcy Doherty, the Corporate Secretary of the company, will act as the Secretary of the meeting, and Florence Smith and Roxanne Pursued of Computershare Investors Services, Inc., will act as scrutineers. To expedite the formal business of the meeting, voting today on matters of ordinary business will be a show of hands unless a ballot is requested. Please note that only registered shareholders or duly appointed proxy holders are permitted to vote on motions at the meeting. Management will be making a presentation to the shareholders after the formal business of the meeting. I would ask the shareholders with questions that do not relate to what I would call the formal part of the meeting to hold those questions until after the presentation by the formal part of the meeting. Next item is the proof of notice of meeting. The secretary has delivered an affidavit of mailing regarding the mailing of the notice of meeting, and I move that the reading of the notice of meeting be dispensed with. Is there any discussion? If there is no discussion, all in favor, please signify by raising your hand or identifying yourselves. Thank you. Opposed, if any? Motion carries. Next item is the report on the quorum. The scrutineer's report indicates there are 82 shareholders represented in person or by proxy, and 38,816,946 common shares, or approximately 91.02% of the common shares entitled to vote at this meeting. And that's what the scrutineers have indicated. Accordingly, a quorum is present. The meeting is now duly convened for the purpose of transacting any business property brought before it. Next item is the minutes of the meeting. The secretary has indicated and delivered minutes of the meeting of the shareholders of the company held on June 9th, 2016, that are available for review at the registration desk. I move that the minutes of the meeting of shareholders of the company held on June 9th, 2016, be taken as read and approved. If there's any discussion, please let me know. If there is none, all in favor, please signify by raising your hand or indicating accordingly from conference. I declare the motion passed. The next item, the financial statements for 2016. The next item of business is the presentation of the audited consolidated financial statements for the year ended December 31, 2016, together with the report of KPMG LLP. I would move that the reading of these financial statements be dispensed with. If there's no discussion, I would ask all in favor, please signify by raising your hand. Any opposed or identified out there? I would declare the motion passed. Next item, the election of directors. The next item of business is the election of directors. Seven directors are to be elected today. Management has nominated the seven nominees set out in the Management Information Circular, dated May 24, 2017, each of whom has consented to act as a director of the company. Management has nominated Wayne Richardson, David Dresinger, Peter Robson, David Warner, Senator Eaton, and Michelle Marier, and myself as directors of the company to hold office until the next annual election of directors or until their successors are elected or appointed. I would ask for a nomination that the seven persons nominated be elected as directors of the company to hold office until the next annual general meeting of the company or until their successors are elected or appointed.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the seven nominees to the board be so elected.
Thank you, Carolyn. Could I have a seconder?
Mr. Chairman, I second the motion.
Thank you. Thank you. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand. And opposed, if any, I declare the motion carried. I declare the following persons have been duly elected as directors of the company, namely Wayne Richardson, David Dresinger, Peter Robson, David Warner, and Senator Trevor Eaton, Michelle Marier, and myself. Next item, KPMG LLP Chartered Accountants are proposed as auditors of the company for the following year. Can I ask for a motion that KPMG LLP be appointed auditors for the company for the ensuing year at a fee to be fixed by the directors?
Mr. Chairman, I so move.
Thank you. Could I have a seconder?
Mr. Chairman, I second the motion.
Thank you. Thanks, Jessica. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand. Opposed, if any? I declare the motion carried. Other business? Is there any other business that may be properly be brought before this meeting? If there is none, I would ask for a motion. A motion to close the meeting is now in order.
Mr. Chairman, I move the meeting be concluded.
Thank you. May I have a seconder of that motion?
Mr. Chairman, I second the motion.
Thank you. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand. And opposed, if any, I declare the motion passed and the meeting is now concluded. Thank you. Now, before I pass the meeting over to our President and CEO, Robert Scargill, I'd like to give a huge welcome to the INCOR people that are here today. I think it's terrific that you're part of the company, and we certainly welcome you very much so. And you've come all the way, and some all the way from Australia as well. So I appreciate your presence. And by the way, I'd like to introduce to you Senator Eaton on my right-hand side. So that concludes my part of the meeting. So, Rob, it's over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for attending today's meeting. So during my presentation today, I'll be referring to certain matters of our future, and some of those things are reliant on things that are beyond our control. This page is important, and I suggest that you take some time and look at it when it's online later today. So today I want to give an overview of the business, touching on the financial results, the status of our operations, and also cover the Incor hydrometallurgy technology opportunity that we announced last month. Following a busy year of risk assessment scenarios, exercises, community meetings, and countless meetings with state regulators, we received a number of approvals to changes to our permits for the power station lead mine. And these approvals will pave the way for a clear pathway for the next 7 years for our operations. We now have certainty over our port access. We have reduced our financial bond commitment by $3 million Australian, and that reduction is now in line with the worst case financial result from a from any incident that occurs. So that's it's not that we were trying to do anything clever. It was just brought in line with what the law requires, and we also have approval for changes to our tailings storage, which will have significant benefit in the future, and that'll result in savings of up to $1 million a year from 2019 onwards. We've maintained a capable and experienced team to enable the rapid and diligent restart once the conditions for restart are fully met. Just to put that into perspective, our senior team there has got an average of 7 years' experience with the project, so they've been through good times and bad times, but they're very aware of what's needed to be done to run the mine appropriately. And I can also report that during my recent visit to the site, I walked around the plant. It's being run with water through the plant on a monthly basis. All the pumps are being checked, the motors are being checked. Whilst there is some minor maintenance to do, essentially the mine's ready to kick off. To afford these achievements, we received $4.5 million US from the Sentient Group during 2016. We received a further $2 million from them in February this year. We're grateful for their ongoing support, and we are fully aware of the value of this funding. And to that end, we've placed a large focus since last year on reducing our cash burn. As you can see from the bottom bullet point there, we saw a significant reduction last year in terms of how much cash we were using. Our strategy for the business continues to be a focus on lead. It's clear to us that there'll be a shortfall in primary lead supply by the end of this decade. Nothing that we've seen this year in markets causes us to deviate from that plan. In fact, what we've seen since 12 months ago when we spoke is further confirmation that is the scenario that we face. We're not an exploration company. We're seeking opportunities to acquire, develop and operate mines. We've got an experienced team of operators in LeadFX who have built and managed several mines, including the largest lead mines in the world. We've now added world-class hydrometallurgical expertise through our relationship with Incor and Dr. David Dreisinger, who's joined our board today. We intend to use this expertise and experience to grow our cash-generating lead mining and processing business. Most of you will be familiar with the information that's on this slide. If you were here last year, it looked very similar last year. LeadFX owns 100% of the Pyrrhus Station lead mine in Western Australia. The mine has reported reserves of 6.5 million tonnes of 7% contained lead. Note these reserves are on the basis of our existing technology. They were also on the basis of the economics that we were facing in 2015. Because of the nature of the ore body, once you start to see increase in metal prices, improvements in exchange rates, improvements in technology, reductions in operating costs, all of those can have quite a significant impact on the reserve and ultimately the mine life. LeadFX also owns 83% of a historic mining company in Utah, Chief Consolidated Mining Company. Chief owns significant lands across the Tintic Mining District in Utah and these properties include the historic Bergen mine. We see this as a potential second-tier or third-tier operation that we can open up in the future and potentially apply this new technology to. And I want to talk a little bit about the lead market and just really take a moment to make some observations. Others can draw their own conclusions, if we've drawn ours. I believe that these observations support the reason for focusing on lead and continue to see that as an appropriate strategy for us. Lead is commonly grouped with other base metals such as zinc, copper, nickel, etc. However, given its extensive use in the battery sector, there is an argument to view it as an electric element such as lithium, cobalt or graphite. And the battery sector is booming. The next couple of slides, there's some graphs here on that show where the battery sector is viewed at the moment. This particular slide, the graph on the bottom is to do with what are called energy storage systems. Basically, they're large batteries that are put into either localized energy electricity systems like solar and wind power or even generated power in isolated communities, but also they're being applied to full grid power as a storage solution between where the power is generated and where the power is used. As you can see from this graph, this is Bloomberg's estimate. They see a 15-fold increase in this sector alone in the next 8 years. And one of the things about this sector is that how light your battery is doesn't have any bearing on its usefulness. These are stable. These are batteries that stay in one place. And as we sit here today, lead-acid batteries are still the cheapest chemical battery option available for these uses. So whilst we will see other technologies that are developed in this space, we see that lead has still got a major part to play in this particular sector. But this doesn't mean we're going to ignore the automotive sector either. This is Bloomberg's estimate over the next 25 years of the growth in the automobile market. As you can see, there is year on year, there seems to be growth in the number of cars that people are going to be buying. And whilst over the next 10 years, that's seen as an 18% growth in the global auto fleet, and whilst there may well be 50% of that growth may be taken by electric vehicles, every one of those vehicles, whether it's got an internal combustion engine or an electric vehicle, every one of them at this stage still has the same size lead-acid battery in it. So that growth in that auto sector, in the auto fleet, is going to see us needing more and more lead in the system. So we've seen strong or robust growth dynamics for lead. It's not going to take off. We don't believe it's going to be this sharp rising curve that you see, say, in lithium or cobalt, but we're not seeing a dip in demand, certainly not in the next 10 to 15 years. And this this increase in demand, we're seeing at a time when certainly in the Western world, in the non-Chinese world, that most of the large lead-producing mines are starting to reach the end of their life. We're starting to see their grades drop off. We're starting to see them needing to invest quite significantly to extend their life. So what we're starting to see in front of us right now is a dynamic where the fundamentals are really supporting the lead price and indicate that it'll improve in the future. I just like to point out that those of you who are 12 months ago, I said not dissimilar things 12 months ago, and it's harder to get the message over because the lead price was $1,700 a ton. I sit here today, it's $2,200 a ton. It's a lot easier to believe that lead's got good fundamentals to support its future. The bottom graph on this one, it's useful to reflect upon because the start of that graph is the point where we actually closed the mine down for care and maintenance because of economic reasons. And as you can see there from the numbers, particularly in Australian dollar terms, we've seen a 23% higher Australian dollar lead price today than the day that we felt that we couldn't continue with the operations. That's ignoring some of the cost benefits that we have even today with conventional technology and ignoring the potential opportunity from a the hydrometallurgical solution. I'd like to talk a little bit about the financial highlights. The figures reflect the business whose primary operating asset has been in care and maintenance for the whole of the year. So we did make a $11.8 million loss for the year, or booked that loss. $6.5 million of that are non-cash items, such as depreciation, exchange rate losses, changes in working capital. The outstanding debts to the Sentient Group now total $15.2 million as of this month. And in addition, we have an accrued liability of roughly $4 million with the Energy Group for the supply of management services since late 2015. We are currently in discussions with Sentient and others in regards to coming up with a longer-term solution to that debt, and we expect them to have something out about that in the not-too-distant future. According to Lincoln, who looks after the money for us, we've got about $1.1 million in the bank as of right now, and we're endeavouring to stretch that as far as we can whilst we're sorting out our ongoing, longer-term debt solution. And in regards to the Incor transaction, I'll provide a little bit more detail on a couple of slides later on. The share structure today is obviously dominated by 85% of it being held by the Sentient Group. But with the recent signing of an agreement with Incor and with what we expect to be a successful DFS, that will bring a new supportive investor to the book, and we're looking forward to that. And the Sentient and over the years haven't been a fantastic shareholder for us and supported us, but it'd be good to have fresh blood around. And again, following on from the chairman's comments, I'd like to welcome the Infor team to the meeting today. Our stock trading is thin. I think we've had one trade in the stock in the last 4 days, so we recognise there's only a small volume gets traded. We will look at what we can do with that over time. But we are sitting here today with a share price that's double what it was when we last met 12 months ago. Now to talk a bit more detail about the operations. As I said, the Pyro Station mine has been kept in a state of restart readiness. I would argue it's been kept in a better standard than traditional care and maintenance. The guys actually really do care and actually have been maintaining the plant. And they've actually been running it so that we know that it's capable of restarting. The processing plant has a capacity to treat up to 4,600 tonnes per day and can produce up to 80,000 tonnes of lead at the rates we were operating prior to care and maintenance. Concentrate is unique that it can be treated in a battery recycling plant. It has no other byproducts with it. That can be sometimes work against us, but it does give us access to a market in the recycling plants that represents 60% of the global smelting market for lead. And no other mine's concentrate can fill that space. Those same unique characteristics lend itself to the hydrometallurgical technology we're now investigating. We do have a world-class lead concentrate transport process. It's been Western Australian EPA's review of the process, deemed it to be world's best practice, and certainly operation of that process over a period of time has shown that it actually delivers in regards to the compliance requirements. But we're always seeking to get better, and that's why we are working with the Incor team to develop their hydrometallurgical solution to allow us to produce metal at the mine site. So the Incor agreement that was signed last month has the potential to transform Pyro Station Mine and provide lead effects with a marquee operation on which it can build a multi-operation lead business. Under the agreement, INCOR has already started funding the preparation of a definitive feasibility study by SNC-Lavalin, and sample drilling is currently underway at the mine site, with the final report expected to be completed sometime in quarter four. To be successful and therefore justify exercising the warrants, the DFS needs to show a near tripling of the operating cash flows. As I said, this makes a big difference to our business. It really does give us something of substance to build upon. On the exercise of the warrants, LeadFX will have the exclusive rights to use and sub-license various INCOR lead technologies for application and other lead resources, thus giving us a lever to actually open up access to other operations, other lead resources to grow our business upon. INCOR is not just providing the technology and funding for the DFS, they're also providing ongoing support, as evidenced by Dr. Dreisinger and the rest of the team being here. The technology would remove the need for concentrate transportation, would significantly reduce the product freight costs and risk, and eliminate smelter treatment charges. Lowering these costs not only improves profitability, but it would have a significant impact on the mine life, as lower grade will now become economic to mine. Successful application of the INCOR hydrometallurgical solution will reduce project risk, substantially reduce operating costs, and extend mine life. It is a potential game changer for us. The DFS will give a clearer picture of the full benefits of the technology, and I look forward to seeing and sharing the results of that in quarter four. Successful implementation of the technology will, of course, be subject to receiving all the necessary regulatory approvals and sourcing the required capital financing. But given what we've seen today, I don't see any reason why none of that can be delivered. Just stepping over into Utah momentarily, we do have, say, 83% of Chief Consolidated Mining there. They have tenements that cover roughly half of the Tintic mining district in Utah, about 2 hours drive south of Salt Lake City. That district has produced over 1 million tons of lead, and certainly in its early days, some of that was very high-grade lead, and has had no modern geology applied to it. So we see it as potentially another project down to fill a slot in our pipeline going forward. And again, the technology opportunities to do something with that resource are quite intriguing. We will continue to review what we can do with that property whilst we're in the situation we're in with regards to cash. We're in the process at the moment of reviewing some of the real estate down there that's adjacent to the to actual housing in the town, which clearly you could never mine, and seeing if we can come up with a suitable solution that will generate some cash there so that Chief in itself can be self-funding. So, why LeadFX? Well, look, you can all read what's on the slide there in your leisure later on, but basically we're positioning LeadFX as a company with unique expertise and experience in the mining and processing lead at a time when lead fundamentals are supporting increased prices. With access to existing mineral resources in stable jurisdictions and a potential game-changing environmentally responsible technology, we are ideally positioned to take advantage of the impending battery boom. And finally, in terms of the work that we plan to do going forward, I spoke about it a number of times. Obviously, the INCOR hydrometallurgical technology DFS is critical for us. That work's underway. We would expect to have that in quarter four. A successful outcome there will trigger the start of environmental approvals, that process, and also will, at that time, we'll review our ore reserves and resources statement and see whether there is a need and appropriateness to actually reissue those. We have delayed a decision to restart the mine while we better understand this technology, as it has the potential to transform the project. We are regularly reviewing the restart decision, and we'll use information from the DFS to support our decision, but we may not necessarily wait till the end of the DFS prior to actually hitting the restart button. And we will continue to seek out opportunities to grow our portfolio of lead assets with the potential to apply the technology to other resources. Ladies and gentlemen, I look forward to providing shareholders with updates on our progress throughout the year. And thank you once again for coming to the meeting.